Chu.
Yes.
Am I mute now? Am I mute now?
Yes, it's okay.
Thank you.
Okay. We are going to start in the next 2 minutes. I'm just waiting for two members that I just called to log in. We'll be starting with the meeting. Madam Zetwa.
Apparently, when the mutanga went too far, I'm trying to. Oh, now I'm commuting. I'm going to land up on footed.
Can I call for your attention, please? So that we start with our meeting. And I want to take this opportunity to heartily welcome all of you, especially the leadership of the Northwest government led by the Premier, Professor Job Mokoro, the MECs of COCTA and Treasury in the Northwest Province. Also take this opportunity to heartily welcome all the municipalities led by the mayors and executive mayors, as well as the administrators who were appointed in terms of Section 139 of the Constitution in the Northwest Province. I take this opportunity to welcome all of you to this important meeting. This is a parliamentary meeting of the Select Committee on COCTA, Human Settlement, Water and Sanitation. We are engaging with the Northwest government essentially on two matters. The first matter pertaining to the Bojanala District Municipality, a follow-up to the meeting that we had around February this year. And that the second leg of this meeting will strictly focus on Section 139 intervention as it relates to the Northwest. I must just point out the following issues. As the Select Committee, we are on the last leg of our engagements. Between May and July this year, under the strenuous conditions of lockdown, we undertook a process of reviewing the implementation of the interventions by different provincial executive councils in terms of the provisions of the Constitution, Section 139, and all its subsections. We were doing so because we wanted to assess our performance as the committee of the NCOP, with a view of presenting a report before the House, and thereafter make some recommendations that we face before different provincial governments. Out of all the municipalities, we Honorable Nita, is you again? Honorable Nita,
Hey, I don't know what went wrong with me.
Yeah, try to switch it off. Yes, I was at the point where I was indicating that immediately we will be consolidating a report that was sent before the House for consideration, so that out of our own practical experiences, our observations, we must then say what is it that we need to do. Because Section 139 is a constitutional imperative. It has got to happen in terms of the Constitution as part of the interventions by the provincial governments. As to how it applies in practice is something that we need to discuss and learn some lessons out of it. Now, in respect of the Northwest, we have been postponing this meeting since the end of June this year. And at the time that we needed to proceed, we were saddened by the untimely passing on of the MEC for COPPA in the Northwest, Honorable Kehakilwe. And since then, there were other two postponements, the last one being last week. I must underscore this point that last week when we postponed the meeting, it was because as a committee we were expressing our revulsion and consternation in the manner in which the Northwest delegation appeared before the committee. One is that the report that was supposed to be presented, a 72-page report, was only presented an hour before the meeting. And as it were, some participants were not part of the meeting. We had requested the province to invite the mayors and executive mayors of the 13 municipalities which were placed under administration, as well as the administrators who and their teams who were appointed to those different municipalities. And to our dismay, they were not there, and there was a discussion that ensued in the meeting as to why different municipalities were not there. I, this afternoon, had a discussion with both the MEC and the HOD, who indicated that it was a mistake on their part, that they didn't send different notices properly to municipalities to extend an invitation to the municipalities. Colleagues, members of parliament, if you accept, I've accepted that apology to say, no, it's okay. In future, it mustn't turn out to be that way. I think parliament is an institution that in the first place all of us have got to respect. It has got certain responsibilities in terms of lawmaking and public participation, and we need to work and ensure that we are assisted to do our work quite effectively. But if you allow, this is water under the bridge. In a language commonly spoken in my province, in the Northwest, we say and that we must just accept that this is what happened, and we need to take the process forward. The agenda that is before us is quite extensive. It needs our fervent consideration, and I don't think that we have more time to again engage on that particular matter. Having said that, as I indicated, let me say that the meeting is officially opened. I have not received any apologies for this meeting. When I checked, out of the 12 members of parliament who serve in this committee, 10 have logged in, which is quite substantive. I'm sure the others will join us as the meeting ensues. we had a very long day today, as you are all aware. This is an important calendar week in the life of the LCOP. It is called the Local Government Week, where the focus is on assessing the state of our municipalities, sharing our own experiences and what is it that we can do to ensure that our municipalities fulfill the objectives as encapsulated in Section 152 of our Constitution. And the theme for this year is ensuring sustainable, is ensuring stable, capable, and financially sustainable municipalities. We're looking at the state of finances of the municipality. We started yesterday. We finished now at 5 o'clock. Now we are attending a meeting. This process will culminate in the House debate on Friday. I thought perhaps I must say that because some of the people who are part of this meeting this evening are also part of the session convened by the LCOP. Having said that, let us get the ball rolling. Let's engage how we are going to proceed forward in terms of this meeting. Is that I'm going to invite the head of government, Professor Mokgoro, to make political statement or introductory remarks, and thereafter we are going to take two matters, starting with the Bojanala follow-up meeting with the select committee, and thereafter we are going to deal with the Section 139 in interventions. When it comes to the two aspects, the MECs, both the MEC of Treasury, Honorable Motlalepule Kgoso, and the MEC, when it comes to the interventions, the MEC for Kgoso in the Northwest, acting MEC, Honorable Boitumelo Mlilwa, will lead us in that respect. But if the Premier wants to take charge of the two matters, he will indicate that in his introductory remark. Without further ado, can I invite the Premier of the province to address the meeting very briefly? Thank you. Over to you, Honourable Premier.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Needless to say, we live in a period where the need of society for a government that functions has become particularly pronounced. And that period is called COVID-19. The period in which we find ourselves globally is such that the need for government as a savior, as a messiah, as a protector, transcends ideological, political differences across the globe. So that one can imagine a citizen in the United States, in a rural municipality in the Northwest, in the UK, whichever part of the globe that might be, when human beings are confronted by a monster such as the pandemic confronting us, it looks like a common question that comes from citizens would be, what is government doing about our plight? In this particular instance, that part of government that people should be looking up to across the length and breadth of the globe would be that government which is at the doorstep of people. It is that government which, as part of our democracy, we have referred to as a developmental government system. A local government system that addresses developmental needs of communities, basic services, and all kinds of services that are fundamental to human survival. Over a number of years, when that system appeared to be failing us, we have tended to resort to some parts of the Constitution. The favorite part of the Constitution that we have tended to resort to, Honorable Chair, has been Section 139. A recent study by Paris has pointed out that that's why it would appear that there is no clear efficacy or effectiveness of Section 139. Probably is because there is no clear basis for intervention for financial problems. No clear process for how serious financial problems are to be addressed in an intervention. The scale of complexity of Section 139 tasks, particularly in a completely dysfunctional municipality, means that most administrators face an impossible task, and their inability to address all the many problems in a municipality is probably the main reason why so many interventions are failures. Many of the interventions, Honorable Chair, date about 20 years, if not longer. Yet, despite accumulation of these complexities, we tend to treat municipal problems as what is generally referred to. There is a noise in the background, Honorable Chair. Somebody needs to mute.
I beg your indulgence. But someone by the name of Mwase, please, Mwase, mute your mic. It is going to be our practice and procedure in this meeting that once you are not on the platform, you must mute your mic because you are going to interrupt us. If you are going to continue doing that, I'm going to chase you out of this meeting. We will cut you off for good. Sorry for that, Honorable Premier. Over to you.
Yes, Honorable Chair, I was saying that we tend to treat municipal problems as if they were technical problems. And some people would call that as if they were tame problems. There was a time, just to use an analogy, Honorable Chair, that when we are attacked by a disease called listerosis, many of our stores, many of our supermarkets identified listerosis in our cold meats. To the extent that when we solved this technical problem, we simply removed the bolognese from our freezers. The challenges and the complexity that we find in municipalities is not like removing bologna in order to solve listerosis. It is far bigger than that. It is not about removing an MM or reducing the functions of an MM.
So the Premier says your speaker is not working. Please check your connections.
And that's 40%. Let me just...
Is the problem with me, Honorable Chair? Am I audible, Honorable Chair?
It is now...
Remove
him now.
Amen.
Remove him now, please. Administrator, remove Mr. Tegamakasa now.
MEC, can you hear me?
Now we are stuck because of you, Tegamakasa. It's not fair that you can delay the meeting of Parliament in this way. He's gone. Try to remove him out of this meeting, please. Thank you. Sorry for that again, Honourable Premier.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I think the problems associated with dysfunctionalities in municipalities are well known. And I know that I have limited time, and I would not go into the number of problems that we all know. But one thing that the Auditor General has repeatedly raised has been our governance challenges, weak or poor leadership in municipalities, coupled with a non-responsive management, that the matter related to leadership at both political and administrative level must be addressed as a matter of urgency to bring credibility to our management and leadership processes in municipalities, that we need ethical leadership in municipalities, who are not only responsible as leaders, but take provisions of the Constitution very seriously, in particular the constitutional responsibility of serving our people instead of narrow selfish interest. I think the district development model is quite instructive, as it provides an opportunity to get government, that is the whole of government, to work together in dealing and addressing all challenges in municipalities. The district development model will remain relevant and appropriate to the extent that we deal with and very effectively with management and leadership in municipalities. Honorable Chair, I'll be the first to acknowledge that implementation of Section 139 of the Constitution is not entirely the only way of resolving our challenges in municipalities. It is just one of the instruments that we could use as government. But the solutions lie in our governance and financial management solutions. We should be supported leadership. My appeal is that never before have citizens of this country, citizens of this province, yearned and hungry for government that works than during the difficult times we are going through, the times of COVID-19. Yet, those of us who serve in various structures of government appear to be a long distance from recognizing the strong need. Perhaps it is time when our intervention mechanisms have got to be more than effective, have got to be brutal, have got to be calculated, and I've got to depart from an approach that says business as usual. It is time for business as usual. And I'm hoping that this period this week, where we have our government as focus on local government, that we will emerge with an approach that says we can now begin to see a difference. When we analyze numerous problems that confront us, it does appear that the overarching thing is we're all scrambling around matters of finance. And when we do so, the impact is so broad and deep that we end up with the kind of municipalities that we do. And I'm looking forward to further deliberations on this matter. We in the Northwest, the MEC and myself, are hard at work to find those more effective and more collaborative approaches to resolving these challenges. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Honorable Chair.
All right. Thank you very much, Honorable Premier, for your introductory remarks. I'm sure throughout the discussions, we will remember what you have just said to us and putting it in the context of what we are going to do. As I indicated, we have two matters on the table. The first one being the Bojanala follow-up meeting that we had in February about what happened. I'm going to, on this one, going to give over to the MEC of Treasury, to brief about 10 minutes or so, because as you are aware, Honorable MEC, we are well averse of the matter at hand. It was extensively deliberated in February, and we are making follow-ups in terms of checking the extent in which you implemented the measures that you said you shall implement. And thank you very much that you have submitted a forensic report which served before all members of parliament, and they had the possibility to study it, to check what is entailed in that. Over to you. I'm going to give you about 10 minutes or so to address the meeting, and thereafter I'm going to give over to the executive mayor of Bojanala to also have a bite in terms of the internal processes that are unfolding. Thank you very much. Over to you.
Well, thank you very much, Honorable Chair of the Select Committee and Honorable Members of the Select Committee, Honorable Premier and my colleague, MEC Mwilwa, as well as all officials on the platform. Good afternoon, Chair. Chair, I'm going to, without wasting more time, I'm going to request that if you allow me, I hand over to our Superintendent General Ntate Ndlela Kunene to take us through to update us and take you the portfolio committee through in terms of the process that we ensued since after the last engagement with the portfolio committee. And he will take you through the presentation with the sequence of events on the highlights, and finally, how far is the process in terms of the investigation and in line with the process of submitting the report, the forensic report. If you allow me, Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Okay,
Rukunene.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Premier, MECs and colleagues. Chair, I've not been given the rights to present, but I can speak to the presentation with your permission.
Just move back a bit so that okay. We see your face quite well. Yes, again, a bit. Just a
okay.
Bit at the back. Yes, because this meeting will be flighted on television at some point, and South Africans want to see who are they talking to. Please introduce yourself and hit the presentation. Why are you not able to
to slide it?
I've been disabled, Chair, as a participant in terms of screen sharing. So if the host activated, I should be able to share it.
Okay. Host, IT people from Parliament, we have this presentation. Just make sure that it is flighted. And even the in the meantime, can you proceed, Mr. Kunene?
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. As indicated in your introduction, that the matter served before the committee earlier, and what we'll do instead of going through a very elaborative process, we'll just take the key highlights which came out of the report. And the purpose was meant to provide the committee with an overview of the final investigation report on the utilization of the funds deposited in the account of Bojanala. Chair, I'm going to skip the input on investigative objectives because it's quite clear that the element of it was to investigate the erroneous transfer to the municipality and also to investigate the processes followed upon receipt of the funds and the usage of those funds by the municipality. The approach is an approach that is generally adopted and approved in the forensic investigation, which but not limited to matters of conducting interviews, tracing of the authorization, holding of interviews, and determining actions that would have been taken by the CFO and the MM and many other officials in the municipality. And based on the determination of those reports, there would have also been an assessment on the misrepresentation and confirmation in terms of what councillors approved and disapproved. Chair, in terms of the period under review, as the events took place from the 1st of March 2019 to the 31st of October 2019, the investigators reviewed the available documents for the third period. I'm going to not speak to the issues of the limitation.
Just a second. I'm told that the IT has enabled you. Can you just in 30 seconds fly the presentation? You can do it now.
Okay.
There are a lot of stakeholders here, municipalities across the province and other important stakeholders who don't have this benefit that members of parliament have. And for their sake, I think it will be good if there is that possibility. But it must be flighted so that they see what you're talking about. I'll do it quickly.
Unfortunately, I'm still disabled in terms of the screen sharing. It reflects the host disabled participant screen sharing.
We cannot proceed. I see just text which is you are enabled, but it's
okay.
Fine, then continue. Okay.
No, thank you very much, Chair. On the matters relating to the summary of the findings, which I think the details of such has been incorporated in the report, the first one was that was the receipt of funds, the erroneous deposit was received indeed. It is possible that the CFO knew prior to the deposit that the deposit would be made, and the conclusion is that it is possible that the CFO. On the utilization, there are a few aspects that have been raised in terms of the utilization of the funds. One was that the district utilized the funds erroneously to settle their prior commitments and continue to incur new commitments and spend on additional unbudgeted for services utilizing the funds, and that amount amounted to 84 million. The other point that is raised is that the understanding is that the MM is accusing, obviously, the political in terms of giving him and the CFO the instruction and receipt and how the funds should be utilized. However, at no stage in his representation does he state that that instruction was received. It is also concluded that the district of the municipality utilized the funds to defray expenditure with full knowledge that the funds did not belong to the municipality. The other aspect, Chair, related to the supply chain management irregularities, the MM and the CFO, through their actions, contravened the supply chain management policies and did not include the SCM unit when procuring goods or services. SCM officials were denied having any knowledge about the expenditure, and the conclusion therefore was that the MM and the CFO, through their actions, were negligent in their processes. The findings also deals with the internal control failures. It also deals with the authorization of utilization of funds, that the council was not kept abreast about the financial status of them due to the non-submission of Section 71 monthly reports. It also deals with the work of scope. Some service providers rendered services beyond their mandate. It also dealt with the violation of the legislation in terms of, through the non-compliance of the CFO and the MM, the municipality incurred unauthorized expenditure to the amount of 84 million as indicated in the report. Chair, that is briefly the summary of the findings which I have summarized. With regard to the financial implication, the municipality, as I've indicated, incurred unauthorized expenditure amounting to 84 million, and then the council did not resolve to adopt an additional revenue budget of additional 84 million. The municipality has spent 10 million on traveling and travel agent services, for which most of it could not be corroborated as taking place. The signature of the appropriator has been forged on most of the documentation. Furthermore, the value for money for the items spent above could not be confirmed, as well as with the services that it did not. In conclusion, Chair, that the conclusions are that indeed the municipality received the payment, the deposit. There is a possibility that I have mentioned that the CFO would have known about it, and the MM was also requested by the HOD to refund the funds, and that the installment arrangement was not accepted. Council has never approved the utilization of funds. Council was not kept abreast about the financial status and the utilization of funds occurred from when the funds were received and without council approval. And the last part, Chair, that I just want to speak to, that a competitive bidding process was not followed for the services acquired, considering the amounts paid for certain of those services, in particular to the extent that the amount was not approved by council in terms of approval. There are instances, and many of the issues that were indicated in the report just deals with the conclusion in terms of specific areas which I have highlighted. I also want to speak to the matter that the MM and the CFO contravened Section 37, Subsection 1C of the MFA, in that they did not cooperate with another government and honor its commitment to the Rustenburg local municipality, because that money was meant for them. The MM did not carry out his duties in terms of Section 61 and Section 62 of the MFMA, and thereby acted grossly negligently in terms of that process. The last point that I just want to speak to, Chair, is that this report does not obviously in any way or any form absorb from the allegations made by the MM. As a result, the MM elected not to participate in the investigation, and he was not obviously interviewed in terms of the process. The following recommendations were made in terms of the report. Value for money for all must be confirmed and the municipality confirm it. The municipality should consider review the contract of the service providers. Furthermore, the municipality would have to go out on tender on some of the key services that has been mentioned. And I just want to speak to the last, that all funds paid to the implicated service provider for the period under review should be traced to the bank accounts that the funds were paid to determine who the owners of the bank accounts are. Chair, I've run through the presentation quite quickly, and I've just dealt with the salient issues that relates to the report. I thank you very much, Chair. Thank you. MEC? No, I've unmuted. Let me see. Rename. No.
Hi, Moss. Hello. I'm now unmuted, check. Try your mic as well. Moss, can you unmute all of us? We are stuck now.
Oh, I've done unmute.
I'm on? No, but this chair is still muted. He can't speak.
But I've unmuted him.
Let me phone him, okay?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm muted now, Chair. Try yours as well.
Can you hear me?
I hear you, Chair. Hi, Moss.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello, yes, I'm trying to... I never muted everyone here. I don't know how that happened now. Yeah. Can they do now?
Fouch.
Comrade, Honorable Chair, can you unmute?
Yes. Can you not hear me? I was expressing my disgust. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
I want to profusely apologize for this, but this is a disrespect of the highest order, and I don't take kind of such. I'll follow up what is happening, and the host can't go to an extent of even muting me when I'm chairing a meeting of parliament. I don't take kind of this. We will follow it up and then resolve this particular matter. But as I said, I profusely apologize for this inconvenience. Let's proceed forward with our meeting. Before I allow the executive mayor to address us, Tate Kunene and the MEC, you've not taken us on board in terms of the issues of consequence management and the actions that you have taken, or that any authority in the province, be it in the provincial government or the municipality, have taken in order to address this situation as you depicted to us. Can you just quickly take us on that particular part before I give over to the MEC? Sorry, the executive mayor. Over to you, MEC.
No, thank you very much, Chair. In terms of the consequence management, the internal processes, the Bojanala District Municipality is through the... Remember, we have handed over now the report. We tabled the report through. We had to give it to COCTA. The MEC for COCTA is the one who has tabled the report to Council, and the report was adopted, and process of consequence management were then unfolded, whereby the disciplinary process it's continuing. However, there's a presentation which I thought that is going to be done by the Bojanala District, the acting MM,
okay,
that is required in terms of the internal disciplinary process, because there has been a number of sequential activities in terms of the disciplinary process where it has been postponed.
Okay.
So I'm going to request that Bojanala takes care of the process, because we ended at where we had concluded the forensic and handed over the report to COCTA, and COCTA jointly with Provincial Treasurer, we tabled the report before we came over to Council to own, the Council to own up to the presentation. Thank you.
Okay, I understand that. No, it's okay. It's okay. Over to you, Executive Mayor, Your Worship.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Am I audible?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Let me acknowledge the presence of the chairperson, members of the committee, honorable members of the committee, honorable MECs, all mayors, and all protocol of the... Comrade Chair, I am experiencing a bit of network. It's been rowdy and rowdy. May I request the King MM to present the report of Bujana, with due respect?
FDMM?
Thank you, Chair. Good evening to all honorable members, mayors, and colleagues. I will try and share the screen if possible, but it still indicates I'm disabled. Am I audible, Chair?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
So the committee chairperson, the committee also has the presentation, so if I am disabled, I may not be able to present or flight the presentation.
Yes, very quickly, please.
Chairperson, I'm not sure if the presentation is on, because I'm unable to.
It's on.
Okay, Chair. Then it means I'll just go through the presentation quickly. Just to give a brief in terms of what has happened so far. On the 1st of July, I'm not going to go, I'm also trying to go very quickly. On the 1st of July, the Council passed a resolution to adopt the final report. There is a resolution number, and in the recommendation, the Council recommended that the report be handed over to the HOCs and the relevant authorities, inclusive of the Auditor General. You'll also recall that the audit of the Bojanala as a district was also late, so that time the Auditor General was still busy with the 2018-2019 audit, because the annual financial statement and the annual report were only submitted at the end of March 2020. So we did hand over the report, and it is part of the audit that will be outcoming as at end of September with the Auditor General. The Council also resolved after that meeting that additional charges be put. You'd recall that during January, a preliminary report was presented to Council and they adopted the report, but then the report indicated prima facie evidence of partially what HOD Kunene had indicated. So in this instance, in 1st of July, Council then resolved that the adding of charges be implemented, and that was done. The case was then opened with SAPS, and we have the case number. The HOCs have been very intensely visiting the officers to come and get more evidence in terms of the individual charges. And we've given them access to officials to get statements and to everybody else. So the case is moving forward, and we are giving them information in terms of what is happening and what we do have on record. The Council has also adopted the formation of a disciplinary board in July 2020 so that further consequence management can be done, especially in the lower ranking, because it is not only the CFO and the MM that has been involved, but we wanted to ensure that proper processes are followed. So the disciplinary board was not operational in Bojanala, and we had to take to Council an item to ensure that the disciplinary board is operational. Council then also resolved on the formation of the Section 79 committee to address issues related to this matter, but also MPEC has also been briefed, although they had the report, but MPEC has also been briefed, and I believe that an action plan is following from MPEC. Our MPEC chair is here to can allude to that matter. Chairperson, then the next is really talking about the progress to date in terms of the municipal manager and the CFO. And those dates are just there to indicate the processes that have been taking place. I'm not going to go through all of them, but just overall. On the 3rd of October, Council then resolved, 2019, Council resolved to suspend the MM and the CFO. On the 7th of October, the MM and the CFO were given the letters for notice to suspend. On the 14th, they made representation. On the 16th of October, Council convened a meeting to make to present submissions of the MM and the CFO. 17 and 18 October, they were served with letters of suspension. The 23rd of October, Council then again went in to resolve, to rescind the resolution because there was an inquiry or a query raised within council as on the quorum of the meeting. So council then, for surety, just rescinded the resolution and made another resolution on the 23rd of October and ensured that the forensic investigation then continues as assistance was requested from the Department of COCTA. On the 28th of November, and within that period of the 23rd of October, COCTA then also presented the department, after requesting assistance, to second the acting MM and the acting CFO to the municipality to assist. On the 28th of November, the MM and the CFO then refers an unfair suspension as a dispute to the CCMA based on unfair suspension. The 19th of January, they referred another suspension dispute to the CCMA related to the 90 days. And by the 23rd of January in 2020, council then adopted and sent a full charge sheet to them related on the draft report. By March 29 February, the hearing date continued and the matter was postponed where the employees requested further particulars. By the 9th of March, the dates were postponed and the particulars were requested, and then lockdown ensued until the 28th of June 2020, where council adopted the final forensic report and then the additional charges were added. The hearing dates were put for the 8th to the 10th of July, and the MM requested postponement due to ill health, and the dates were set for the 27th to the 8th of July, where the matter reconvened and the MM again requested postponement due to ill health. The 11th of August, the MM and the CFO requested postponement due to a review application that they put to the Labour Court on the case number JR10212. And the chairperson, this was the morning of the next hearing. The chairperson dismissed the request based on the fact that the review application challenged council resolution and the employees had already pleaded guilty. The employee's attorney withdrew on that date and walked out, and the employees remained in the meeting and they requested postponement to represent themselves. On the 13th August 2020, the hearing was set to continue and the employees came with another urgent application to the Labour Court to set aside the complete disciplinary hearing. The 19th of August, council had to prepare for the urgent matter at the Labour Court and affidavits were filed to the Labour Court. On the 28th of August, having jumped the other events, council then, after presenting the matter to the Labour Court, got a decision from the Labour Court that the disciplinary hearing must continue and employees will set themselves to answer on the charges due to the gravity of the matter. While we are looking at the 28th of August, this week we looked, which is a further update. This week on Monday, the hearing was set again, and the employees then requested that the chairperson recuse himself from the meeting after the Labour Court has resolved that the disciplinary hearing must ensue. They requested the chairperson to recuse himself from the hearing, and also that made the representation to the chairperson, and the chairperson still has to decide. That decision is due today. It was due today on Thursday. And that is the matter. We also then had to contend with a High Court matter that was an urgent application to stop in the Mafeking High Court to stop the hearing due to the decision of the council resolutions. So we're fighting dual matters, the High Court in Mafeking, the Labour Court, and we had two CCMA cases going on. And then there was then the contestation of the chairperson to recuse himself from the hearing. Chairperson, in brief, that is what is currently going on in terms of consequence management. And we are indicating that in terms of other employees that have to be also be charged, we were going to look at the disciplinary board, but also be able to prepare charges for others that besides the MM and the CFO. That is the progress so far, Chairperson, in terms of consequence management. Thank you, Chair.
All right, thank you very much. Very detailed, but short, and where I see it, understandable. I hand over to members of Parliament to ask questions. Over to you, honourable members. Who's starting? And please unmute yourself or stop being the host. Otherwise, we are going to have this screen that is before us throughout. Okay. Honourable members, over to you, honourable Ted, and who else?
Okay.
Honourable Shait.
My hand is up, Chair.
Honourable Newton.
Vandamela.
Vandamela for? Yes, the four of you is okay. In order. Let's start with Honourable Ted. Honourable Sileku. And lastly, Honourable Fester. In that order, yes, six of you. Start, Honourable Ted.
Chair, I just want to understand in terms of the cost that the matter has been referred to High Court. Whose cost is this?
Clear? Honourable Sheikh?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, while I understand the process, as the DC process as it relates to the MM, and I think the presentation is welcomed and it was quite elaborate. The forensic investigation also makes other recommendations, and I think it would be appreciated that we also get progress in terms, I think there's about 10 or 9 other recommendations. But also, I think it was said now that in terms of consequence management, as it relates to other officials, whether it's in supply chain management, there are still processes that are going to unfold. And maybe an explanation to why were these processes not put in place at an earlier stage. But there's also aspects around internal controls, et cetera, which come out of the recommendations. But I think, Chair, what I'm trying to say is I'd appreciate it if we get some kind of progress report in terms of all of the recommendations that are made in the forensic audit. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Honourable Leader.
Thanks, Chair. Let me touch where Honourable Sheikh left off, because I was going to ask the attachment of the forensic report so that we are able to see the recommendations. I think it's something that they will take back home, and please send us to Chair. The report is really bad. Not necessarily bad, the content of it, but the actions by both the CFO and as well the city manager, and you do not find in the report what was then the responsibility of MPEC when all this was happening. The fourth point, Chair, there is in the report, there's something that talks about politicians being the ones that gave instructions. As much as I appreciate the fact that politicians are not supposed to be part of supply chain, and also the manager, the city manager, and as well the CFO, they are very clear about the act, what is it saying. They're not supposed to be taking instructions, rather than a role of politicians should be oversight of what they are doing. But still, you need to know what exactly those politicians have said to them to make them to get into this quagmire we find ourselves in. It's quite embarrassing to their electorate. It's quite embarrassing to us to hear this kind of a report. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Honorable Zandamela.
No, thanks, Chair. Yeah, this is really worrying, this report.
Can you show your face, please, your video?
Oh. Sure.
Yes. Oh, it's okay.
The network is very bad, Chair.
Okay.
Yeah. Look, the report is very bad, Chair. It's really worrying what we just heard today, especially from the HOD, Kunene, if I'm not mistaken. Actually, he has explained everything that has happened, Chair. And not dwelling too much on the things that we heard from the report. But this is clearly, you can see what has been happening. I mean, honestly, you can't just spend more than 84 million that you know exactly that you don't have. You know, and I just want to check something quickly, Chair. When is the contract of this accounting officers coming to an end? And then I think I'm also partly covered from my second question, that who's paying for all these court up and downs to court? If I can just be clarified there. And then and their contracts, when are they coming to an end? Thanks, Chair.
Okay. And obviously, Lekun.
Yeah, good evening, Chair, and good evening to the members of the committee. Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity to pose a few questions of clarity. My first question, Chair, is that there are some missing links with this report, and also latching on to what Uma Munita was actually saying pertaining to the political leadership. You know, when you read the report, it says that in the report that there was a Mr. Volmerans, and in the office of the mayor, and the CFO was there, and the directive came from the mayor to actually utilize this money. And what the investigator of the author of the report is actually telling us is that the possibility does actually exist that the directive might have from the political head from a politician, but when they did an interview with a politician, it was actually denied. Now, then I ask myself, for the sake of transparency, these two members that are being dealt with here, that they've never been given an opportunity, or which actually refuse to participate in this process.
Your line is very
clear. I ask myself, if members that cannot give a clearer picture of what is actually how this whole thing started, can actually come to the bottom of actually who gave.
No, I'm sorry, your line is very terrible.
Thing,
can
you hear me, Chair?
Yeah, your line is very terrible. I propose that you stand aside to a position where you can be audible. I'll give you the bite again.
Can you hear me, Chair?
No, it's bad.
Can I propose as well that you could write on chat? Sorry, Chair.
Yes, if it's so bad. But
can you hear me, Chair? Let me switch on the camera. Can you hear me?
No, it's still bad.
Chair, can you hear me now?
No, your line is bad. We can hear you, but it's terrible. Stand aside a bit, Honorable Fesser, over to you. I'll come back to Honorable Ilek.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
I didn't say I unmute. How is
Honorable Sileku?
I propose that you switch off your gadget and switch it on and lock in. Sometimes it does that to me. Try that, and I'll afford you another opportunity to speak. All right. Honorable, let's proceed. Honorable, Professor.
Thank you, Chair. So while we appreciate the work done by the municipality, what is missing is the role of the department and consequence management from the department side. The municipality received money from the department, who processed it from the department, and what action has been taken against them? Also, the allocation was done to the municipality without following processes of gazetting by the department. Clearly, consequence management from the department must also ensue. Officials in COSA can't simply get away with making such clumsy mistakes. This also talks to ill control to the department. For such a huge amount of money to be by all the approvers in the department. And then also, I also want to know the costs for the forensic investigation. Who carried it and how much was it? Thank you, Chair.
Well, thank you very much. Honorable Silegu, are you there? In the meantime, let me ask three direct questions. One is, I heard that you are reviewing the appointment of all the contractors and service providers who were appointed. In the light of the forensic report, why don't you terminate them? Why are you still reviewing their appointment? That's the first question. The second question, I want you to link this report with the audit outcome of the municipality. I know that this municipality had not submitted, was one of the municipalities as at 2 months ago when the Auditor General presented the results of 18 and 19 financial year. It had not yet submitted its annual financial statements. I want to know, if you have submitted the annual financial statement, is there feedback from the Auditor General? And if it is there, how does this matter link with the discoveries and what the Auditor General has found out? And for the record, this Mr. Vollmerans, is he Mr. Vollmerans that is a member of the National Assembly currently? Please answer that question. Thanks. Over to you.
Chair, I actually forgot one question. Sorry to you.
Yes, please. Go on.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, on issue of controls, again, I would like to know if they do have that internal auditors, who can pick these things earlier than later, you know? I'm just checking on that, Chair, apart from MPEG.
Yes, all right. Over to you, any responses? Starting with the municipality, because most of the questions were directed to you. MPMM and the executive mayor. Over to you.
Should I go?
Okay, yes.
Okay, Chair. Let me respond to some of the questions. The executive mayor and the MPEG chair are available. They can also.
Yes.
Come in at the point. There were two questions relating to the costs for the court matters that were entertained for this disciplinary hearing. The first High Court matter was a matter that was taken as an urgent application to the High Court to stop the disciplinary hearing, but the intention...
The question is, who's paying for the... for this High Court matters. You have elaborately explained, and I think we understand
who took the matter to court and how. The question is, who's footing the bill for all of this from the side of counsel?
Yes, Chairperson, both court matters, the High Court of Mafikeng and the Labour Court matter, was one with cost. So the first court of the High Court in Mafikeng, the cost has to be footed by the EFF because they launched the urgent application. The second application of the Labour Court, they also lost it with cost. So the cost has to be footed by the employees themselves.
How does the EFF feature here?
The EFF launched an urgent application to also stop the disciplinary hearings. They were questioning the validity of the council resolution to suspend the two members. That is how they feature, and that is how they went to court in January for an urgent application.
And they lost.
And they lost with cost.
Yes. Yes.
So they will have to foot the bill, and the Labour Court matter is also to foot the bill. The municipality is paying for the disciplinary hearing as it continues.
Yes. Can I make a proposal that you within a week give us that information in writing about the cost and how much it is in precision, and separate it? Even though we know that the EFF will pay and the employees, because they lost, and the Labour Court will pay, tell us how much has the council paid already within a week. Is that okay? If you allow, Honourable Ntetwa, let us leave this question.
Chair, I'm back. Can you hear me?
Oh, you're back. I'll come back to you. It's okay. Is that okay, Honourable Ntetwa?
Yeah, it's okay, Chair, because, it's okay. Let me leave it there.
Yeah, it's okay. Honorable Sileku, back to you. Just address the second part of your question. They had noted the first ones because you were audible then.
Chair, I just wanted to know that the MM and the CFO, why were they not subpoenaed so that they can take part to this in this process of the forensic investigation? And my second question is to the political leaders within that municipality. Are they telling us that, specifically the mayor, that the mayor was not aware there was an erroneous a deposit within the bank of the municipality? If she knew about it, what did she do? And then she must just tell me, if she knew, what did she do? If she did not know, why did she not know? And also, Chair, I understand as well that there is companies that were actually doing business without following procurement processes. They skipped the process of the BSC, BEC, and BAC. But what the report is not telling us is that they don't follow the money. Can they just tell us, how are they going to make sure that these companies that were actually paid for doing business with this municipality, who they are, where they reside, and if there's any links between them with those politicians or administrators within that particular municipality? And what consequent management is the department going to do to this political leaders within that municipality, who has a responsibility of making sure that there is oversight within that particular municipality? Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much. Over to you, Acting Chairman. Proceed. If there is any question, man, for you on what Honorable Sileku asked now, you can also answer. Proceed.
Thanks, sir. The second issue was on the supply chain management processes, which have been improved now. Chairperson, you'd see with what has happened, there were top five companies that were involved in the 84 million, as per the report. But what we also subsequently found was that supply chain was very scattered across the municipality. So we managed to bring it back to the municipal, to the supply chain management office in terms of central
application of supply chain management processes. We also then started to look into internal controls and the management of MSCOA and systems in the municipality to see what is happening and how can we control expenditure, but also just manage supply chain in the offices. We are currently looking at matters that have been looked at by the AG in terms of linking it with the AG report currently. We are already instituting disciplinary hearing against some officials that have been doing procurement outside of the supply chain management processes, but not necessarily linked to the 134 million or the 84 million that was spent, but just general supply chain processes where everybody could take out an order, everybody could do procurement, and we are now dealing with those matters as it is. Internal audit was not effective in the municipality. In February 2020, we established an internal control unit with a chief audit executive now in place. We have submitted to the audit committee the charter for the audit. And one process that we are undertaking now is with any supply chain process that is happening, we pass it by internal audit so that they are able to advise in terms of processes that could have been missed. So those are some of the processes that we have put in place. Honorable Nika asked about the attachment of the report. I'm sure the department will respond to that. An MPEG question will also follow together with the politicians that were in.
Okay.
Honorable Zambella.
Okay, was it?
Okay, Zambella asked about the legal cost, and I think, Chairperson, you indicated that we should give you a tabulation of that. But also then asked about the subpoena of the MM and the CFO in terms of why were they not subpoenaed. Chairperson, I'm not at liberty to respond to this one because it was exclusively done by the forensic company. What I'm also aware of is in terms of their resistance, they also resisted us to, as a municipality, to get their laptops. We had to subsequently subpoena them to get their laptops so that we can mirror all the communications. It was subsequently found that after they submitted the laptops, they had also wiped everything, but we are trying to recover the information. So it is a blatant refusal to participate in the process. Honorable Sineku asked about the contract, when they are ending. The contract of the municipal manager and the CFO is 2023, just in different months. Honorable Fussell, okay, it's also related to the cost. Chairperson, you asked about the review of appointments of the contractors. Chairperson, if you look at the top five contractors that participated in the 84 million, we are sitting with the treasury team that is busy doing a financial recovery plan for us. We are looking at reviewing all the contracts, and you indicated that we need to terminate the contract. We are not currently...
Councillor Pilan.
We are currently not doing any business with any of the ones on the contract because in terms of even the 84 million, there is a huge amount in excess of 30 million that they still claim to be owed by the municipality after even the 24 million. So those are the ones that we are now trying to out. We are now engaging with the treasury team with the amount that they are owed, that they are deemed that we are owing them. Outside of the 84 million, there is still in excess of 30 million that they are claiming we are owing them. So we are engaging in this.
you mean from the same contract of this 134, 84 million, they say you pay them 84 million. They say you still owe them 30 million from the same contracts.
From the same services that they had provided.
Yes.
So those are services that were provided in 2019 from the same services. So we are still owing them in excess of about 30 million. So this is what the Treasury team and us is currently unpacking to say, what are we owing you? What is the contract about? What? How do you interpret the contract? So we are still busy unraveling that.
But you've not answered us. Why are you reviewing and not terminating the contract if you say the appointments were illegal, were unlawful? Why are you still reviewing? Because as you put it, you still owe them 30 million rand over and above the 84 million rands that we've already paid. Why are you still reviewing and not terminating this contract? This contract. Just be straight on us on that one.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am talking about the amounts involved that they claim we still owe them, emanating from 2019 business that they have conducted. So their invoice is outstanding. That is what we are looking at. That is the 30 million that we are talking about. The contract is not an issue now because we are not trading with them in terms of the contract. We are looking at what they still claim we are owing them. So we are unpacking the invoices at this moment. The AG also raised the issues that have been raised in the forensic report, and what the AG has picked up that we needed to submit in terms of one particular contract is a party relationship.
I wonder who's that. Honorable Musamai. Mute yourself, Honorable Musamai. Let's lead by example, please. Honorable Musamai, mute yourself. Can you mute yourself, please? Honorable Musamai? Okay, proceed.
The Auditor General picked up some of the invoices that have been in the forensic report, and they picked up which we were not particularly aware of. They picked up a party relationship that was, I don't know how the Auditor General does it, but they picked up that there was a party relationship of an amount of 17 million that was clarified last week. And the Auditor General picked up that it could, one of the councillors is a party, could be a party to that relationship of that amount that was done. So we then had to give them all the disclosures of the councillors, and they were going to come back to us to indicate which councillor precisely is a party relationship as they picked it up. So there is a definite link between our 2018 and 2019 report from the Auditor General. Chairperson, I don't know if I've touched on all your questions. And then there was the MPEC Chairperson can come in to also deal with some of the issues. Councillor David?
Councillor, there is only one point that we have not covered about a certain Mr. Volmerans. Respond in the way that I've asked, please.
Chairperson,
I know that is an allegation. It's an allegation. Answer it in the way that I've requested.
Chairperson, I think the Honorable Volmerans that they are talking about at the time that the money was the mayor of the Rustenburg at that time. So it may be the same Honorable Volmerans that is currently at National Parliament.
Okay, somebody will have to clarify that. I don't think that it is factually correct that at that time he was the mayor, but somebody else from the province will have to clarify that. Okay. Because if you say this transaction happened around 2018 or 2019 at the latest, yes, but I need you to answer that question about this individual that is pointed in this report. Over to you, Honorable Mr. Who's speaking? The MPEP Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Am I audible, Chair?
Very much so. Are you good?
I'm well. I'm surviving, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I think on the question of, because there was not that much, whereby MPEP was posed with questions here, it was only that the Honorable Member who said in this whole process, where does MPEP feature? I think the MMF alluded that there is an action plan that we are going to engage as the committee on the 16th, of which is this Wednesday.
Now, the question is, what were you doing, what was your role when all of this was taking place in your municipality, not what you will do in future?
Jefferson, I don't want to take you back because I think when we were at the parliament last year, this issue of 134 was never disclosed to council, whereby as MPEP also we were in the dark of this 134, whereby we heard about it when there was a strike. When workers haven't got their money. And the former late MMC, MEC, when he said there was this problem of 134, that's why you could not be paid. That's where MPEP just heard about that. We were okay. Not at all. Yes, Chair.
I remember that, yes. I remember that.
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. Over to you, Executive Mayor.
Thank you, Chair. Am I audible? I'm trying to move outside.
We can now join you, yes. We can. Did you get your questions quite right?
Yes, I think all the questions that has been asked, the acting MMS tried to answer them. You remember that by recusing myself from the matter, all the matters that he's referring to was dealt by the acting mayor, and hence the MMS in response. So the question that was direct to me was whether I knew. You remember, Chair, on the meeting that the MPEP Chair is referring to, whilst we were in Parliament, I indicated, even in that affidavit, that I knew, but I thought the money would be returned back. That's what I said. And I said the only time that I knew the money was utilized was when I was requested, because the MM claimed that there was a letter from the provincial treasury that says they must take the 50 million to Rustenburg. And I didn't even saw that letter. That's what I said when we were in Parliament, Honorable Chair.
Can you just remind members what did you say exactly for the record of the meeting? Because this is quite important. And one member asked a question specifically. What oversight role did you play in this matter? And I want you to just remind members of Parliament about what you said and what is still your position at this stage.
Like I'm indicating in the affidavit, Honorable Chair, the CFO, not the MM, the CFO informed me about the money. And then we then agreed that the money must be returned. And then he indicated that somebody from the province came to confirm whether the money is there and that person was hit. Then I said, the money must go back to where it is supposed to be. and then I left the money. You remember that it was that May, April, May, because when I left, all issues with the CFO, who is an accounting person to the finance of the municipality, I didn't follow up, because by that time, if you remember, we were not often in office because of the our commitment, our political commitment. So I was not often in the office. When I realized about the money, it was when the employees were supposed to pay. And then I indicated, I'm still indicating, that the MMC for finance then called me to say there is a money that there was a letter from the provincial treasury that was written to the municipality that instructed Bojanala to deposit 50 million in the Rustenburg local municipality. So by that time, because there was nothing in the municipal coffers, I then indicated that I will not talk to the MM, because I was not taken on board of the money that was transferred to the Bojanala district, to the Rustenburg, I mean to say. And then that's where now I learned to know, and then that's where all these processes unfolded.
In short, you say, for the record of this meeting, that you didn't know that there were five companies appointed to do some work. You were not aware that these companies were paid, and the fact that you were not aware that the appointment was irregular and unlawful. Is this what you are saying to the meeting?
I don't know of the five contracts that were appointed, Honorable Chair. I only know of the three contracts that were appointed for 3 years that we found in 2016, and then their contract was extended. But I don't know of a new other contract that were doing work with the municipality, except the ones that...
I'm saying for the purpose of this meeting and this discussion, and about 130 years will come in, Honorable Temple. For the purpose of this discussion, you are not aware of anything?
No.
Okay. Honorable Tetra?
Chair, I understand the level where, as members, we are coming from. But the issue here, Chair, there are a lot of criminality element that has been reported both to the Hawks police, and there are deep investigations that are happening. I think, Chair, for us, let's appreciate the process as we have requested. How far with it, and so that we don't deal with issues that are directly in court as we speak.
Thank you. I think the intervention is correct. Yes, sorry. Let me go to the province. Please, MEC and the DG, answer the questions in the way that they were asked to you. I think one question was about consequence management for the officials from the department who deposited the monies. And how much did it cost you? The forensic investigation. I don't remember any other question, but if you do, you can respond to it. Thank you.
No, thank you, Chair. I would request the HOD to respond. However, Chair, I would also deal with the issue, if we make reference to the affidavit in terms of the question that you've asked of the member. I want to clarify that at the time, Honorable Volmarans was the Member of Parliament and not the Mayor, so I needed to correct that. So I'm going to request that HOD speak to the three processes of following the money, of the issue of the consequence management in COCTA, and also of the cost that has been incurred by the department. If you allow me, Chair.
Yes.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, maybe let me start by indicating to the committee that apart from the processes that have been undertaken by the municipality in terms of internal disciplinary process, the report has officially been submitted to the Hawks, and they are currently looking at that matter. In other words, there is a parallel process. That matter is handled by Captain Bokwane within the Hawks, who is in the province. So that process is also continuing. The second aspect, I think, which is a right question, which was asked by Honorable to say that what is that we are doing to follow the money? The process of the investigator was extended to look at that aspect. They are almost at the tail end of the process, Chair, because what they are doing now is that they did not only look at the issues relating to non-compliance in terms of SCM. They are looking at the value for money, whether the services were delivered. They are following the money of all the service providers that have benefited from the 84 million. It's a very comprehensive process, and I think it's almost at the tail end. That will be the second report that we'll be getting from the investigator. There is a third leg to the report, which is the report relating to what was asked by Honorable Fesser, relating to what consequence management would be implemented in the transferring department. And in this instance, the transferring department would have been, at that time, one department called Cooperative Governance and Human Settlement. That report is also concluded, and we would be lodging the report with the department through the MEC for implementations of recommendations and findings. So that part also is covered in terms of the area. We have to date, Chair, spent 834,000 for all three processes. In other words, for the process relating to the main report that we have submitted to the committee, the second part of it is the processes that relates to the departmental processes in terms of the transferring of the money, and the third element of the report deals with the following of the money process, which also is also going to be submitted to the Hawks. Chair, I also want to make just one small point in terms of the issues that relates to the CFO and the MM. As part of the process, and one of the limitations, and obviously which created a major challenge in terms of the investigation, is that the interviews for the MM and the CFOs were requested. However, they did not honor the request to be interviewed. As a result, that part of the allegations could not also be corroborated based on what they... However, the investigation does have information about the information that was submitted to the council as part of the representation by both the CFO and the MM in relation to their suspension, and that information is part of the information that we have. Chair, I also want to check, not to check, but if there is any other matter that relates to the annexure, I think honorable members made reference to the annexures. If there are any annexures that we have not submitted, we'll look at it and do that. What I understood is that we have submitted the full report. What we have with ourselves is that those are the exhibits and the recordings, and those are the documents that are being used both in terms of the internal process, and also that is the same information that has been submitted to the Hawks for further investigation on the matter. However, if there is areas that we have not covered in terms of the report, we should be able to submit that to the committee. Chair, I think that is what I only wanted to speak to, and I think the rest of the other questions, I think the ACMM did speak to those issues. Thank you very much, Chair.
Well, thank you. Well, members, that is the report as well as the responses from the different players on this matter. Can I make a proposal that we should not discuss a way forward and what needs to be done now, that as a committee now we have the information, we will convene during the first week after we reopen Parliament to just present the report with recommendations and have a discussion on how we should process it and what recommendations we should make to the House. Is that okay? If you allow, I think let us close this matter on that note. Yes, thank you very much. And let me take this opportunity to thank the presenters
that this was quite comprehensive, very understandable, and very, very detailed. And I must also, at the same time, thank the MEC for availing the forensic report. With our experience throughout the country, it is not always easy when we request that we be furnished with the forensic reports. We have to subpoena people, we have to fight with them, we have to remind them many, many times. And in this particular instance, we were favored with all the documents that that we requested. I think that the main outstanding point here, it has been covered about how much have you spent to date, but we will have to source the other information from the municipality about how much they have spent to date in respect of the court, high court matters, including the labor court. On that note, those who are engaging here, thank you very much for the report. We now go into the second item. We're running a bit late, but we'll see in terms of what is it that we need to do. Let me invite, what we are planning to do, and we will see how we go with this. We are going to take a report from, led by the MEC of COCTA in the province, like we normally do. After that, we are going to afford every administrator of the 13 municipalities to speak to the report presented by the MEC, and thereafter we will speak for 3 minutes each strict, and thereafter we'll give 3 minutes to each of the mayor and executive mayor of the said municipalities to speak to us about the whole situation. In that sense, as parliament, we will have the idea about what has happened during the time of the intervention, the invocation of Section 139 of the Constitution in those municipalities. And we'll see how it goes given the time limitations that we have. We might decide to reconvene based on the fact that it's for the first time we're dealing with so many municipalities from one province at a go. And as I said, we'll see how it goes. But nevertheless, over to you, Honorable MEC of COCTA, Mama Mila, and guide us on how you want to proceed forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable members of the committee, Honorable Premier, my colleague, Mr. Rochon, executive mayors available here, the administrators and MMs, all the members who are in this meeting. Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I must say that you have stated it, that why we could not proceed in the last meeting. So we are here, Chair, to present that report to the committee, which will cover the terms of reference at that time and what we have achieved and maybe the challenges that we are still facing. If you allow me, Chair, can I then hand over to the HOD to do the presentation, Chair, if you allow. HOD Motoko is here. My team is also here, Chair.
Okay, it's fine. It's okay.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good evening to you, to the members of the committee, the Premier, the MECs, mayors and executive mayors from municipalities, administrators and municipal managers. Chair, I would request that I be given the right to fly to the to share the screen, to flash the presentation. If that's possible.
Yes, please, do it quickly, please. We're running out of time. What and Moss, I need to talk to you very strongly about the fact that you should have also outside this facility. Oh, okay, there it goes. You need to be meticulous in what you do and facilitate this thing quite properly. I was going to summon you, Northwest, to come and reprimand you if you are not doing your job. Okay, thank you very much. You can proceed.
Chair, as requested, we are going to be presenting policies in which we inform these organizers that we are indicating what the terms of reference were when we sent in the administrators, and we are giving the summary of what they have achieved. And Chairperson, we will then, after this, submit the report for each, the full report for each municipality to the committee for their scrutiny. Now, Chairperson, I'm not going to go much into the background, which basically indicates what are the municipalities supposed to do, and in this case, what they have failed to do, which then led us to invoke Section 139 as a last resort to resolve such issues. I must indicate that we are making a point that as much as we are, as a provincial government, in its entirety, we are supporting municipalities to perform a number of functions. There are still some stubborn service delivery financial management and service delivery problems that are very stubborn and refuses to go away, which ultimately would lead us to intervene. And we're citing the backlogs that we are facing. And in this particular, we have serious challenges regarding water, which now and again will lead our communities to the streets. Prior to that, we have issues of instability in councils and also problems regarding political and administrative interface, allegations of corruption and fraud in our municipalities, issues of poor financial management that we see most of the time through the negative audit opinions. I think the committee is aware that we, for the past financial year, none of our municipality received a clean audit or unqualified audit. They were either qualified or disclaimed. And so these are a number of problems that will eventually lead to the province taking a decision to invoke Section 139. And in this instance, we had to invoke Section 139 in 139.1 B in 12 of our municipality and 139.1 C in one of our municipalities. And at one municipality, we did not go the constitutional route. We invoked Section 137 of the MFMA. And we brought the process that we would normally follow, which is to go to ESCO. ESCO would approve such kind of intervention and mandate relevant MECs to implement such intervention. And I will not go into the procedural issues because we followed all the procedural compliance issues that led to ultimately the minister giving concurrence and the NCOP also giving concurrence. Chairperson, I would want to report that all the municipalities, the 13 municipalities that we intervened on, all of their term have ended, and they have also admitted that those out reports. And what I'm going to share with the members would be a summary of those closeout reports. Chair, I will start with Madi Beng, and also maybe to indicate that we normally assess municipality in three areas, which is governance and administration. We assess under sound financial management and also under service delivery. And when we look at Madi Beng, we had problems of that there were no senior managers at the time. There was a problem in terms of council not playing its oversight role, as it was not sitting, and also overall management of the municipality. And we indicated that most of those areas were resolved. The oversight structures in the municipality were working as at the close of the administration period. We had resuscitated the labor forum, and we have done other administrative matters in that municipality. I must indicate that before the intervention, there were protests almost daily in that municipality, community protests due to lack of service delivery, and there was relative calm during the period when the administration was in place, which is was a great relief to the province, because people were beginning to see that their issues were being attended to. When it comes to some financial management in Madi Beng, the mandate was to improve financial controls, to take corrective action on irregular expenditure, and to improve financial controls. We have registered some progress as well in here. We have reduced the budget deficit and ensure that the current budget is cash funded, and we have compiled the UIF register and contract management register, which will then assist even the MPEC to play their oversight role. And the team had also run revenue enhancement campaign so that they are able to get the cash. And there are other issues that have been achieved by the team that I'll not go through in the interest of time. And when it comes to service delivery and infrastructure, we also had to improve service delivery and infrastructure. Madi Beng has always been in the news on the issue of water. And there are projects there that have been running forever that are not getting completed, which should have resolved the issue of water. And we managed through intervention to ensure that we appoint for all the MIG projects to be completed, and establish a contractor performance forum, and that we deal decisively with the issues of water. We involved the national department, we involved Mahali's Water, and together they are on site, we are all on site to ensure that we deal once and for all with the issues of water in Madi Beng, and also to deal with other planning issues around the issues of water. So and also the issues of electricity and the issues of project management in general. When we move to the next municipality, it's Lekwatemane. Also there, the issues were non-functionality of councils, the labor and legal issues, and we also have registered progress on a number of areas that has now now the council and the administration has now started to function properly and to improve service delivery to our people. When it comes to the same municipality on the financial management, the issues regarding financial controls in the municipality, which we attended to, the budget processes and the awarding of contracts to establish their legitimacy. And in here, we are indicating progress in that we had the budget has to be redone and ensure that it is funded, and in this instance it has been funded with operating surplus, and also the section 21 report has been submitted, and the municipality is now able to deal is dealing with the liabilities. They have drafted the payment plans to deal with their liabilities, and the progress regarding sound financial management. When it goes to the Mafeking local municipality, the problems were almost similar in terms of governance and administration, in that the governance structures were not working, and one of the improvements is that in that regard, in all the municipalities or most of these municipalities, government structures are now working. The committees are sitting, and in this instance, we had to assist in terms of the organogram and other admin issues. That would allow that the municipality should function well. When it's coming to some financial management, we also had to deal with the issues of internal controls, expenditure management, procurement processes, revenue, and so on. And the team managed to deal with a lot of historic issues. I think Mafeking had their main issue about the unfunded budget was the historic debt to CDB and water and other service providers that could not be resolved. I think they were owing the pension fund over 200 million. And our team has managed to assist in dealing with those big issues, and there were also issues of filling of senior management position, including the position of MM, which has now been filled, and the MM is following up on the issues that were not completed by the team. The same goes to infrastructure in Mafeking. They has also been attended to. When it comes to Swahili Chairperson, also governance issues have been attended to. I think the most important one here was that we managed to resuscitate MPEC. MPEC in Swahili had not been working, and for a number of years they were unable to submit even the oversight reports to council and to the legislature. And we managed to turn that situation around, council functionality around. We also had to deal with financial controls in that municipality.
There's a radio behind you.
It's not me, Chair. Chairperson, it's not me.
Your watching so far, Mulusiwa. Just wait a bit.
Your
worship, Samuel,
Lucy,
it is the mayor of somebody called the mayor of Botana Lamuka. She's the captain of the can somebody called up this? She's playing with the radio. She's not part of this meeting.
But we heard that together with the Sanctuary that indeed there is no problem with this practice. And
it is an executive mayor of Bojana, I can see from my side. Yes. Can you proceed? Please, your worship, please don't disrupt the meeting. For the last 5 minutes, we've been listening to your radio, listening to the news. Okay, proceed.
Okay, Chairperson. In Swahili, the team managed to ensure that they developed a repayment plan so that for ESCOM debt, and they deal with.
Executive Mayor Fetal. Executive Mayor Fetal, Mulusiwa. Please don't undermine the processes of Parliament.
Chairperson, he can remove from that side.
Yes, I'm mean, yes. IT, remove her, please. She doesn't come back. She's actually done because she's not part of this municipality. She must go and respond to the questions which were posed by the honorable members with the additional information that is required. Can you go ahead, please?
Yes, Chair. I was on playing and saying that we managed to also improve the situation around some financial management. This is one of the municipalities that was not able to, at some point, to pay salaries of the staff and councillors, and also the third parties, your UIF, your pension funds, and so on. And the team had worked to resolve these issues, and there had been some progress registered. And also the issues they were attending, also they managed to attend to the issues of billing, which and also the issues of the electricity losses. And the next municipality is that of Laslo. Also the main issue here was governance, where the council was not working, and also overall administration of the municipality. That situation has improved tremendously. The situation has adopted a calendar. The institution has adopted a calendar of their meetings, and the committees, the oversight committees, are now beginning to have now begun to set. And that situation around council operations has stabilized. The issues of appointment of senior managers has also been attended to. And in terms of the other issues of governance, they had to deal with other many issues that were in that municipality, the unlawful suspension of employees, and issues of the public protector. Those have been also been attended to by the team. The financial controls in the municipality. The municipality is in the process of appointing a CFO. However, we have seconded a CFO to the municipality as a provincial government through our Department of Finance. And there also had been improvements that has been registered in terms of the controls and the systems regarding financial management. Disobota Chairperson, we intervened in Disobota, and also we had issues of governance there that had been addressed, and the senior management positions were also filled in, and policies that were not in existence were drafted and were shocked. And the organizational structure was also developed. And when it comes to the financial management, also there has been some progress that was registered to improve financial controls. And also we working, the municipality team worked on issues of irregular expenditure and also improved issues of reporting, legislative reporting. The service deliver, I think one of the main issues that actually prompted the intervention was the issues of service delivery in that area. We had water treatment plants or wastewater treatment plants that were not working. We even had to enlist the South African National Defence Force to that area.
We want to remain young for something.
To improve on this matter, and the municipality, there has been an improvement around that area, as well as a certain number of pump stations were audited, and the boreholes refurbished, and so on. When it comes to issues of the Makwasi, when it comes to Makwasi Hills, issues there was also to improve governance, and that also the team that went there also assisted in that regard. And there has also been improvements in terms of sound financial management, in that the big committees were resuscitated and are now functioning effectively. In terms of service delivery, also there has been improvement in terms of bulk sanitation, and including the construction of the oxidation pound. Ramutsirimuila, the issues there, Chairperson, were also issues of governance, where the council was not able to sit and the committees were not able to play oversight. And the situation had changed. The administrator assisted the councillors to resolve their differences, and the councillors were sitting and their committees of council were sitting. When it comes to financial management, the Revenue Enhancement Committee was resuscitated, and the Revenue Enhancement Strategy has been developed and adopted by Council, and they are working on ensuring that they deal with issues of creditor payments. The infrastructure there was also attended to in terms of the projects that had been incomplete for a number of years. They had been attended to and completed. Also the issue was governance, which has now improved. The council is now able to sit, and is also able to the committees are able to work, The intervention, during the intervention, the protests and disruptions in that municipality, that characterized that municipality, came to basically none. So the intervention actually assisted in terms of bringing calm again to that municipality. In terms of improving our financial controls in check and receive, the department assisted the municipality through on revenue enhancement specialists that we appointed, and also assisted them to make sure that they spent what they have received. And also we are also trying to assist the municipality to make sure that they are stable. In terms of their corporate services, the organogram and other matters that are also not in order in that municipality. We also had Naledi on our list, chairperson, and then Naledi, we started with administration in Section 137 of the MFMA, and then later on we escalated this to Section 139 of the Constitution. However, after the NCOP's visit to the municipality, the NCOP did not approve the intervention, and therefore the intervention came to an end. However, the support from the department continues as of today. We can report some improvement in terms of the short period where the municipality was under administration. One main one being that we managed to get the council to sit and the council committees to sit. We managed to ensure facilitate recruitment of senior managers and also to assist in improving the financial controls of that that municipality. The next municipality would be I will be Mamusa, chairperson. This is the municipality that we put under Section 1391C. The issues there were issues of service delivery in the main, and where we had to make sure that the projects that have not been working are completed, the sewer that was running the street, issues of water services and so on. And the team had registered the progress in that regard. And we are now seeing a different Mamusa at this time. This one, chairperson, is on Akamundiri Mulema, and as we have indicated, it was not Section 139, but 137, and we are sharing with the committee what we achieved through Section 137 in Nyakamuthiri Mulema. The other municipality that we were intervening in was Kagisano Molopo. In Kagisano Molopo, we appointed an administrator, but the administrator was refused entry in the municipality, and the administrator could not continue with his responsibility, and the municipality took the provincial government to court, and however the provincial government lost the case. The main reason behind that the decision of the judge was that the province is under Section 100 and therefore does not have an authority to can place Section 139 on a municipality. We have appealed that ruling and we are yet to get the date for the hearing of our appeal in court. The other municipality that was also under Section 139 is J.B. Max, and the administrator that was appointed in J.B. Max could also not get to the municipality to implement the administration. There was a lot of resistance, and there was also a court challenge on the intervention. However, the matter has been on and off the court roll. In essence, we have not been able to implement the intervention in this municipality. We are sharing here the cost of the intervention, Chair, which is about 35 million over 3 years. It's a lot of money that we could have been used for other things if we had other methods of intervening municipality that does not necessarily include Section 139. Chairperson, we are also sharing with the committee the lessons that we have learned from Section 139, which might also assist going forward. We have seen challenges increasing to the decision to impose Section 139. We also have seen interventions being successful because they don't enjoy the support of council. I think in most of our municipalities in the province, there has been resistance regarding the intervention. And also we have realized that the intervention comes late when the situation is really deteriorated in municipalities, and we are unable to then be able, the limited time that you normally give ourselves of 6 months is not able to resolve all the issues, because as the Premier said in his opening, the issues will just be scratching on the surface, because normally we give our intervention teams only 18 months to. In conclusion, we are saying that the province will continue to work with municipalities to attend to all the outstanding issues, and we will also improve engagement with all the stakeholders in the municipalities to ensure that we find alternative means to resolve the issues. We got to improve revenue collections, and so that the municipalities are viable. If you look at our municipalities, they are financial, they are not going concerns, all of them, and it is because they are not collecting what they should be collecting. However, coming back to Section 139, we're having a problem. Some of the problems that we have is because there are no regulations, national regulations, to support Section 139-1B. And as a result, we get accused of all kinds of things. And also, we need to ensure that we consistently move to other methods of intervention in municipalities, except through Section 139. The Premier mentioned the district development model that we can use. And Chairperson, I will stop here in the interest of time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, HOD. I understand your predicament. It was not easy to present 13 municipalities. And I allowed you to speak for a very long time.
than the time that I had prescribed you to take for this purpose. Honourable members, let's move. I think we, as I propose, that we need to take the administrators and municipalities and move the process forward. I see Honourable Mutata wants to speak.
Thank you very much, Chair, for giving me this opportunity once more again. Chair, I respect your directive, Chair, in terms of continuation of this meeting. But to be honest, Chair, if you look at the challenges that this province is facing, especially these municipalities, I don't think Chair will be doing justice just to give the councillors 3 minutes each. And in line of that, Chair, and as you are aware that since this morning at 8:30, we have been sitting in the meeting up until now. I believe, Chair, that I want to put a proposal to this meeting. I respect your decision that for now, Chair, let's adjourn this meeting so that we give enough time for the councillors, not these 3 minutes, so that everybody can present their case, so that when we deal with it, we are not going to be blamed of really that we were doing a tick box of these matters. These matters, Chair, you can see how deep it is. It needs our most focus in dealing with it. I propose, Chair, that for now, since we are now, all of us were exhausted, and we are not going to be doing justice to these issues of this province. I request, Chair, that can this meeting be postponed to another date where we have all of us enough time, especially for the report of the councillors. That one is much important for this meeting.
Mr. President, what is this now? What is this now? Councillor Tago, you're not supposed to be in this meeting. Councillor Tago from Matibe, you are not supposed to be in this meeting. And I don't know who gave you the permission to be in this meeting of Parliament. And I don't take kind of what you are doing. If you're doing it in the province of the Northwest, don't do it when other provinces, members of Parliament from other provinces, are engaging with your problems and your crisis in the Northwest. And without asking the IT to remove you, can you remove yourself? I've seen that it's you, the MMC in Madibeng municipality. Can you unlock yourself?
Who's this fellow, Chair?
He's the MMC. He's not supposed to be part of the meeting in Madibeng. And Parliament is not the government of the Northwest. Parliament will deal with him.
Chairperson, Executive Mayor Madibeng, can we help you? Who's that MMC?
It's Tsako from Madibeng. Isn't it so?
Who?
It's Tsako from Madibeng.
Tsako?
Yes.
Tsako is not the MMC, Chair.
Yes, no. You know he is from Madibeng.
Yeah, I know Tsako, yes.
Yes, you see him, he's Tsako from Madibeng. Or he's not the MMC, he's a councillor in Madibeng.
I don't know who invited him to this meeting.
Yeah, but he mustn't take chances. Parliament will deal with you. We're not playing here. We are attending to matters of national importance.
and we're focusing on the Northwest. And if the people of the Northwest play marbles and disrespect one another in the province, they mustn't do it with the national parliament. This is a national key point. And what we are doing is permissible in terms of the law. We are in a legal process, a meeting of parliament, a committee of parliament. We'll take this matter up, is fine. Let's proceed. Honorable members, honorable chairperson made a proposal. I want to hear you speaking to the proposal. What are you saying?
Chairperson.
Yes. Honorable Fayela.
No, chairperson. I agree to all members. I think I concur with Honorable Church. If we want to really do justice on this matter, let's give it a rest and carry on the other day. I support him.
Honorable Sheikh, you are there to speak. You will follow Honorable Lester.
Yes, Chair. I thought I'd come in before Honorable Fayela, but I want to confirm that I agree with the sentiments that both members have put forward. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Fisher?
I also concur with the decision that Chair, we have to do this thing well, and we have to have the input of the different councils and the councillors as well. Thank you.
Any other dissenting view from members of the select committee?
No, change.
Any different view? I hear you, Honorable Nita. Any dissenting view? Can I just express this view on our members?
Chair?
Yes. Who is that?
Honorable Bartlett.
Honorable Bartlett, yes.
I agree with the proposal, Chair.
Okay.
I agree with the proposal. It's just to say that when we have our next meeting, that the people that are supposed to be in the meeting must be in the meeting and not anybody else. Thank you, Chair.
Now, don't worry, Parliament will deal with this. Any other view?
Chairperson.
Honorable Kenny Musamai.
And then gina hana gore go ka ba botoka gore meeting e re o sitse marago ke sapeta ntate mthetho re ka lengwe la matsatsi ba re kgone go dula mo fase re dula ka one meeting.
Yes. Okay,
I also would like to agree with the proposal. And just one request, please, man. In our next meeting, whenever these the members from the municipalities are invited, please, they must just mute themselves when they are not speaking. I think we've spent about 30 to 45 minutes, like you speaking to people, that they must unmute themselves and all those things.
Can I have a suggestion?
Okay.
Chair, can we please ask the municipality to have these people trained on the Zoom system before we have the next meeting, so that they know what is expected of them? Maybe they didn't have training. Thank you.
Honourable members, without making any side issues, can I just say that I don't have any choice but to concur with honourable members on what they are saying in terms of adjourning this meeting, postponing to a later date. But I need to just say the following things, that as you are aware, this is the last province that we need to engage with. We have been postponing the Northwest, and there is mounting that we need to present a report to Parliament in respect of all the municipalities, having discussed and analyzed the totality of the situation in respect of the invocation of 139 of the Constitution. And
maybe you are right, honorable members, that if we are to deal quite comprehensively with the problems of the Northwest, which are historical, and in a way that will help us to drill and go deeper to the problems, we need more time allocated to all the players, that we need to carefully and in detail listen to what the administrators are saying, and we also need to listen to what the mayors and executive mayors are saying about their own municipalities, and maybe allotting them 3 minutes will not be sufficient if we are to comprehensively deal with the situation and present proper findings, conclusions, and recommendations to the House. That we need to agree on that. That taking the process forward as the HOD was presenting to us, he was touching on precisely the terms of reference and the achievement registered in terms of the intervention. What I was missing in that submission was to say, these were the problems, these were the challenges, this is what pushed us as the provincial government to intervene and to invoke Section 139 in this municipality A or B or C. And these were the issues, these were the allegations, these were the challenges raised. And in the presentation, we're missing that in precision. These were the issues. And based on these issues, these were the terms of reference. And based on these terms of reference, these are the achievements. This is what we have registered, and this is what we have achieved. That is something that is missing in terms of what were the challenges, what were the issues, what were the problems. Again, what this presentation is missing is the date in which these interventions were made and when they were terminated. I think that is quite important. I suggest that we be favored with that kind of information, even if we were not going to discuss it or allow you to make further presentation. But if you can submit it on time, members of parliament will go through it and really understand the problems in their deeper context. I suggest that we do that. But two, I think that when we reconvene, which must happen within a week, because we still have to check with Parliament. I know that Parliament next week is going on a recess on the 18th, that we need to find a way in which we can slot this. I know that the whole of next week, we as the committee, this committee, we will be in Mpumalanga doing our oversight visit in Mpumalanga. But I think we need to find a way in which we must facilitate this meeting so that we finish with the Northwest and close this chapter, submit a report before the House. Now I'm going to plead with the people we have invited in this meeting that from our part after this meeting, I'm going to really address with Parliament why were we inhibited and constrained in the way that we were at the beginning of this meeting, to an extent that I was also muted, because that in itself also contributed in taking more of our time than dealing with those particular aspects. I will go and investigate what could have been the problem so that we stop this practice. We don't like this kind of things happening when we are in sessions. But on the other hand, I really would love to sincerely implore on our guests who are coming here to not only observe the rules, but to ensure that they respect the processes as they unfold. It's just a few people who were creating this, and it's like everybody was doing that. No, we are not saying that. But we are saying that at least be sensitive to that, so that when we are in session, we respect the kind of issues that we are engaging with, and we take them quite seriously and deal with them appropriately. I suggest that we look at that going forward. We, Parliament, actually, I don't even have to say that, Parliament on its own will investigate this behavior of people budging in our formal meetings, especially when they are public representatives. And I apologize to have said that this is a mayoral committee member. He's not a mayoral committee member, but he's a member of he's a member of council. He's a councillor in Madibeng. I know him quite well. That is why I could easily point him. That he burst into our meeting, he interrupted our meeting, he intercepted our meeting, I don't know for whatever purpose. And Parliament will have to follow this so that we deal with this behavior that undermines our system of government and our system of Parliament. So that we send out a message that we are very much impatient and intolerable of kind of this kind of behavior. Parliament will follow that up and deal with it. I propose tentatively, that this meeting will be convened in the evenings of Wednesday next week. I think it should be the 17th, if I'm not mistaken. But I will immediately after this, before tomorrow, ensure that we issue a new communication to all the stakeholders to be part of this meeting, and so that we ensure that at the end of the day, we comprehensively deal with the issues that are before us. Because I think, as we also observed and discussed during the day, the Northwest Province and all of its people deserve better. They deserve good services to the municipalities, to the councillors that they have appointed, that they have elected. They need to be given the necessary service. And all of these problems that the Premier of the province mentioned from the beginning, from the start of this meeting, they should be ended so that there is sanity, there is normality, there is stability in the province. And as this committee, I can rest assured that we are going to play our part, we are going to make our contribution to ensure that we assist in whatever way that we can, so that this province is extricated from the morass of ignominy and shame that is facing it, and therefore it becomes a normal province like all other provinces that are dealing with the issues of governance, service delivery, infrastructure development, and all of that. It has got to find itself in that situation, and that is our responsibility, all of us, to ensure that we deal with those particular issues. And as I said, we will then have to reconvene quite urgently to finalize this work and present the report before Parliament. It will be in the best interest of all of us, at least even for the province, to know what are other stakeholders like the NCOP think about the province itself, and what is it that the province should do as part of the recommendations to take the progresses forward. On that note, let me once more thank all of you for becoming patient with us. Thank you for attending this meeting, especially the head of government, the Premier of the province, for taking his time. He clearly shows that he came here in person, that he's propelled by a burning desire to help to solve the problems of the province in whatever way that is possible. But equally thank the MECs for taking their time today to engage with us. Thank everybody, the staff of the department, administrators, as well as the political heads of different municipalities. From our side, I think you send us to Parliament. This is our job. We've got to do it to the best of our ability. But given the nature and the magnitude of the challenges that are facing us, I think it's quite important that we postpone, and as Honorable Mthethwa proposed from the beginning, that we find more time, that we dedicate sufficient time to deal with the problems of the Northwest, so that in that sense, we help to resolve them. On that note, thank you very much, all of you. The meeting is adjourned.